Blog Talk Radio.
If you have patience with me for about a month, I will have you so smart. Yes, I will have you so smart that you can tie them around your fingers.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Nothing But Elijah. I am your host, Sister Akilah Ali. I want to remind you that this is being brought to you by CLO, the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. To learn more about CLO, please visit us at CROE.org. I want to take the time to kind of introduce what we will be listening to today. Last week, I spoke about Brother Munir Muhammad, the late and great business manager of the Coalition for the Remembrance of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and the wonderful brother and helper of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that introduced me to the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And one of the audios that was given to me that helped my introduction to not only the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, but the organization of CLO is the Defense of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is a historical audio interview that Brother Munir Muhammad had with Brother Tony Gill. And it encapsulates to me the spirit of Brother Munir Muhammad and the purpose of the organization of CLO. So without further ado, please enjoy this audio of In Defense of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And again, any of these audios, if you wish to purchase, feel free again to visit us at CROE.org.
General insurrections in the United States within 10 years, and he was absolutely on the money. He even prepared his people to be disciplined, not destructive. And if this is the case, does it present, in your view, as you argue, I'm sure, that perhaps Elijah was not trying to stir up trouble, but to change people's thinking?
Elijah Muhammad loved us. He loved black people more than life. He gave his life for that. Every day of his life, he stayed on the job every day. That's why, see, Tony, like you said, his sister doesn't hate Elijah Muhammad. I feel sorry for some of these people. They love European people more than their own kind. Elijah Muhammad has done nothing but good for his people, by example. I mean, I'm saying everything that he geared up was for the love of us, and it hurts me. But I don't worry as much as I used to about so-called American Negroes like that lady, because I thank Almighty God that there are people who come into their senses saying, well, whether we agree with you or not, let us look for ourselves, to see things on film, to hear them. And you saw Eye on the Prize. They did a two-minute plug on Elijah Muhammad, and here's the man that produced all these people. Louis Farrakhan, in my opinion, is a super brother. And the way that he's handled as far as his oratory and representation of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I mean, but look, if Louis Farrakhan know who's shooting the gun, I mean, just like Malcolm and all the rest of them knew.
Let's go back to the phones immediately. 1054 Nibwaji, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right.
Nibwaji?
Yes, I was almost close.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah, I like to say that that people keep saying that, want to know, did Elijah Muhammad have Malcolm X killed? And if people would read some of the books that have been written about the FBI involvement,
yes,
and the COINTEL program, and read the description of how Malcolm X was assassinated, how sophisticated it was,
yes,
how it was a setup, how members of the police department,
right,
were manipulated, Elijah Muhammad does not control the police department.
That's right.
So no matter, it doesn't even matter if Elijah Muhammad wanted Malcolm X killed or not. It would have been totally impossible for him to put about that type of setup.
Right.
So I think people need to even quit thinking about that. But anyway, I've been listening to the conversation, and I have problems with the spirit
okay.
of this See, I want to understand Malcolm. I want to understand Elijah Muhammad because I want to know what mistakes we've made in the past so we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn lessons. I don't think it should be a matter of pitting Elijah Muhammad against Malcolm X and vice versa because, if anything, to me, they complement each other. So I don't think that this conversation has been in the right spirit. You know, I think both men were great, and I think that it shouldn't be a matter of just pitting, you know, one against the other.
Well, let me say this, sister.
Well, let me just curtail that. Does it have to be that one has to be pitted against the other? People are very emotional about it.
See, you know, but the people, see, I understand what the sister said, and I thought we had moved past that, Tony. In my personal opinion, the reason it upsets me, because the way that people talk about it, I've seen them on national TV every year. They do the same thing, like they love Malcolm. Malcolm was a Muslim. If he was a Muslim, in order to understand him, then you would understand him from what he believed, you see? And the people who talk about him, they don't believe anything. If you close your eyes, if you look up in the sky, ain't nothing up there after 6 miles. And about 90% of the whole world believe that God is a spirit. Elijah Muhammad taught that he was a man, and Malcolm concurred with that. So what I'm saying, that Tony, if we're going to discuss this, then we should discuss it from the position of strength. You came and you did research. All the information that you've accumulated. You heard Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory is not a Muslim. You heard Muhammad Ali. I mean, I heard people say they would follow Muhammad Ali around the world. Same thing with Malcolm. You had these quotes that these people said. So what I'm trying to say, stop arguing about stuff until you get the truth of what you're arguing about.
So people generally are making comments without understanding.
Look, it's a fad, Tony.
Sure. Let me go immediately to the phones. Let's talk to Saul.
Yeah, you know, hey, how you doing, Nija? You know, they talk about Malcolm X and Muhammad and stuff. I mean, you know, the white people, you listen to you, and they just laugh at you.
Of course.
You talk about these guys are your heroes and stuff. One of the guys had too many wives. The other guy was put in jail for stealing cars and robbing liquor stores. I mean, come on.
So let me ask you,
you know,
a question.
Why do you think there's so much racism in this country?
Saul. Listen to yourself, Saul. Saul, what about the Kennedys of Massachusetts? You guys give a full 4 days to the Kennedys of Massachusetts. You have people right to... Saul, you are making believe as though the African-American community is a monolith, just like the white community is not a monolith. The African-American community isn't a monolith. Saul, just listen to you. You talk too much.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, is Saul still there?
Saul is somewhere else.
Now, Saul,
I don't know where Saul is.
Saul know that the 6,000 years is up. That's Saul's problem. And as it was written, you know, and the people are going to come to know, Tony, whether we solve it today or tomorrow, and I'm saying I certainly didn't want to be emotional and angry, and I say this to the dear sister. I pray that God bless all of us with the light of understanding, but I'll leave her with this. In the 9th through and 80th verse, it said, ask forgiveness for them or ask forgiveness for them not. Even though if you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. This is because they disbelieve in Allah and his messenger, and Allah guides not the transgressing people. See, we believe in this book, and we believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the last messenger, those of us who follow it. You know, now that's what we believe. Now, if she doesn't believe that, we understand, but also she can read in Isaiah, the 4th chapter, in the 1st verse, she better be careful because it talks about 7 wives in that, and that's the Bible.
Let's try to hold you on for a few minutes past news time.
Of course,
because
we've got
lots more people, and of course we'll ask Mandrake to call us a bit later.
Yeah.
But see, here's the thing, you know, that people are being described as devils. We find out when a community's in trouble that they're laughing at you, and this is wonder, you know, then they wonder why they're being called devils. Well,
did they laugh at Jesus?
We'll find out on the other side of Mutual News.
Okay.
It's 11 o'clock.
Thank you.
This fine Saturday morning, 24th day of February 1990. Today, the eve of Savior's Day, we have with us Munir Muhammad of CRO, Coalition in the Remembrance of Elijah, an organization founded here in Chicago to remember a man who this group believes felt is much misunderstood and much maligned. I've been saying that all along, and apparently the phone calls reflect exactly that. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Clarence. Clarence, you're on WVON.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Munir.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
I would just like to say very quickly that a few things that people should look at when they think of this controversy, they should look at that out of all the people that they found of renown, no one man, no one leader has produced three giants like this man, Elijah Muhammad, produced.
That's right.
Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan, Muhammad Ali, whether you agree with them or not.
That's right.
Including his son, Warf Deen Muhammad, who's one another way. But what you should look at in this aspect is that when these people followed Elijah Muhammad, they were at their best.
That's
when
right.
they went against them, all of them have went down, including Minister Farrakhan has admitted that when he followed Wahdeen Muhammad in his new direction, that he found himself going on a decline. And also, it should be kept in mind, when Malcolm went to France, he was banned from speaking there, and when he went to Cairo, Africa, he was food poisoned. Mm-hmm. I think the Christians would find a hard time living during the days of David and Solomon. Them, I wonder would they talk against David the way they talk against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I think it's a lot of things we just look at hypocritically, and we should take another look at. A lot of these brothers that follow, call themselves following Malcolm, like Stokely and H-Rap, why they can't get their program off the ground today? Why come Hakeem Anabuchi, all these guys that claim from the national side to take Malcolm's side against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, why their program is not on the national scene and they not having the results that Malcolm had? And thank you very much.
Hello?
Yeah, he just thanked you very much. He made a statement, and Clarence, we thank you for the call. Let's talk to Franklin. You're on WVON.
Hello.
Hi.
I have two questions. I've been to the Mass Mariana, and I enjoy Farrakhan when he speaks. But some things, you know, everybody doesn't agree with everything everybody said. And I'm not trying to put Farrakhan in any kind of category. But some things I have heard him say.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Would you repeat that, please?
I said I have been to the Church of Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm.
And I know everybody doesn't agree with the system of the United States. Mm-hmm. Some things I don't agree with. And, you know, the style of how the government sometimes is run. But my question is, you know, I heard the man that runs the program say some things about what Farrakhan said about the white people calling them devils. And I have heard Farrakhan say this also. But being a minister myself, I have some drawback. And I was thinking, I said, if I had the opportunity to pastor a church such as he does, and when whoever, just like the Bible said, whoever will, let them come. Mm-hmm. And if I find that in my audience, I have whites, blacks, Chinese, Filipinos, which God has no respect of person. He loves us all as much as the same measures. But I would look at this like this. If you were willing to come unto me to hear me, my speech has to be without a respect of person. I cannot say to the white man, you sit here, and to the black man, you sit over there. But I'll say to the white and to black and all races.
Okay, let me say this, though, dear.
As God, wait a minute now. You had your say. Let me talk, okay? As God would say unto me, if I be his children, and which all of us are his children, I would not want God to say to me, you black devil, or you white devil, or you this. But I would want God to say to me, because he is the father of us all, to say, I love you white man, and I love you black man, and I love you Chinese or Filipinos, or whoever you, whatever color you is. It doesn't make no difference. If I had a white child or a black child, I would love them all the same. You understand what I'm saying? But Farrakhan, and another thing I noticed, that everybody says that the Elijah Muhammad was the last, was coming to set up everything in order. But I find it kind of hard to believe because he's dead. And the changes that have been going on in the nation now, Elijah Muhammad has been dead. And he has not changed nations from evil.
You know,
you get what I mean, you understand
what I'm saying, right? I get everything that you said.
And another comment I'd like to make. I'm married. And I got a husband.
Okay.
And if my husband go out and marry another woman, while I know it, he going to jail. He's committed bigamy. And if he father more children besides my children, I would be awfully mad. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I cannot justify.
I'm not going to justify one man's deeds because of what happened a long time ago. Solomon had a lot of concubines, and David had so many. But God didn't even allow David to have more than one wife.
Let me thank you, Franklin, for the call. She brings up a number of important issues.
But, you know,
issues.
I listened to the sister, and she went on to say about she has Philippines and whites and different people. See, that's our problem with this rainbow, this illusion. Now, in her own Bible, did God say that if you sit down with the devil, you can't sit down with God? It's a separation, Tony, that has to take place. Now, in Revelation's 12th chapter, I think 9th verse, it referred to a people with the characteristics of a beast. Now, all we do, when Jesus even referred to a people, John 8th chapter 32nd through the 44th verse, that if God was your father, you would love me. Ye are your father, the devil, and the works of your father you would do.
But I've heard from a number of people who study these things from the Kinetic Institute and from religious perspectives, let's say theology perspectives, not religious perspectives, where they are constantly reminded that Jesus himself was a separatist. In fact, he refused to talk to a Samaritan woman and said, "The woman, it is not meet for me to cast bread before the dogs." And in fact, told the young children, or the young children, the children of Israel, that they were supposed to have separated themselves, etc. Yeah, I suppose I can understand what she says. Maybe it's an ideal thing to have a rainbow, but even in the Christian Bible, you really don't see that.
And you know, even two brothers, boundaries were set up for them, and if two brothers couldn't live together. See, we have this wonderful illusion that all people are the same. Because a fish has red blood, does that make him your cousin? No. See, we have to begin to realize that when it said, "Let us make man," it was talking about a particular man. Now, those of you who believe that European people have been on the planet longer than 6,000 years, show us the evidence of it. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been clear. He said that people have had this mystery thinking of God, you see, and he come to bring you face to face with the reality of God. Now, what we're saying, Tony, we know that's difficult for you to believe if you've been programmed. See, the computer can only do what it's been programmed to do. And you've been programmed to have a blonde hair, blue-eyed person hanging up on your wall and refer to him as Jesus or God in person. And the thing is that you have to begin to wake up and realize that the earth loses nothing. Everything comes from the earth and it's going back to the earth. And so all I'm saying, that these people who refer to Scripture, they want to take bits and pieces of it, that's fine. And all I'm saying, just judge Elijah Muhammad by the way you judge the people of the book. And that's who he said he was. If the shoe doesn't fit him, then that's fine.
11:14, we're talking with Munir Muhammad, business manager of Crow, which today, along with the Nation of Islam, is observing Savior's Day. I have a question, and again, it brings me back to the point that we raised earlier, that maybe some people really believe that Elijah was not trying to stir up trouble, but to change and challenge conventional wisdom. For example, Elijah told his followers to go for self, and I quote here from the message to the black man, "The poor slave, after his masters let him go free, his first problem to solve was securing a home of his own for the first time. He must now do for self. Master is no longer responsible for him. He must solve his own problems." Now, he probably taught this, 30 years earlier. Of course, it was published in 1965, 25 years later. Unless I'm mistaken, today it sounds to me like some people still don't get that.
All right, let me say this. This is a famous quote in the House of Delegates in Virginia, a European by the name of Henry Barry. He was saying why in 1832, in describing the situation as it existed that time in the South, he said that we have as far as possible closed every avenue by which light may enter the slave's mind. The avenue of the light of Allah you are unable to shut out. They say if we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on a level with the beast of the field, and we should be safe. I am not certain that we would not do it if we could find out the process, and that on the plea of necessity. Now, the point being is that we hate to come to grips in our history that we have been reduced to subhuman condition. That was their job. In the 15th chapter and 13th verse of Genesis, you were promised that you would sojourn in a strange land of not your own. You would serve a people for 400 years. But the very people that you serve, God himself would judge. So this is what the callers have to get in touch with. We're not doing the talking here. Elijah Muhammad said he fulfilled this scripture. He saw us as a people like dry bones in a valley. You know what that means, brother. Nobody comes back once they're dead. They had a saying, son, once you're dead, you're done. So I'm saying to you respectfully, beloved, even if you did come back with all these kidney transplants and heart transplants, you're going to come back with my kidney or my heart, you see, my liver? So we have to come to reality, beloved. Everything is real. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us the reality of God as it was given to him.
1116, we're going to have to take these calls. Sure. Dolores, you're on WVON.
Good morning. Who's this, Day? Brother Day?
No, this is Tony Gill.
Oh, Tony, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Assalamu alaikum to the brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
It's nice hearing you this morning. I hope you don't get too upset over some of these callers, because you and I know their brains is full of the swine.
Yes.
And people argue for lack of knowledge. But I'd like to say this. I met with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad when I was in my 30s. I'm a great-grandmother now.
Mm-hmm.
And Brother Malcolm was my brother, and I loved him, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was my teacher.
Mm-hmm.
When I went into the temple, I was not interested in his sex life.
Mm-hmm.
I was not interested in his penis.
Mm-hmm.
I was interested in what the man was teaching me, that I could raise my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. I brought my daughter through the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my grandchildren through the mouth. And now my great-grandchildren are coming through the mouth. And they've gone to college.
Mm-hmm.
They work in society. I've never had any problems with them going to jail, on dope,
mm-hmm.
or getting into fights, or having problems with people in the street. They work out in society. Now, if these Christian sisters and brothers who call in would look at the jails and see thousands of our black youth with the preacher leading them. The jails are full of these young people, and it's saddening. And stop worrying about Mr. Muhammad's sex life and worry about what did he teach his people that will enable them to raise their children and seeing their examples for any children to follow. That is what they should be mostly concerned about. So don't worry about these people with this swine brain, people. I have a business place, and I'm in my 76 years old now, and I'm happy over what I learned from Mr. Muhammad in the early years when I was 30 and out there in the street, and he turned me around with his teachings, and his teachings saved my children. They will save the children in the street if black people would stop and think, let the man's penis alone, and worry about what came out of his brain. That's where you should look.
1118, Dolores, thanks for the call.
You know,
I was afraid of what else you had to say.
I just want to say this, you know, and I understand what you're saying, Dolores, and I'm really sorry for an emotional point. I love the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I make no bones about it, and I know that he taught us well. But, you know, sometimes when people make these attacks, because we've been having a different response from people. People have been coming by, viewing things for themselves, and they've been saying, well, you know, I didn't know that. I'm glad I came by. And if I tell them, tell someone else about it, you know, so they can get the truth of it. But when people who just go on and don't know anything about it, I heard one of your callers earlier in the week say he was about 5 when one of the followers of Elijah Muhammad left. But he was inspired by him, you know. I sympathize with these people because they don't have the history. And see, just because you go to the mosque one time, someone may have rubbed you the wrong way. This was a program, Tony. We went to the mosque Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. We dealt with families, you know. We could go the same place our children could go. It was not that we going to party, you see. So I'm saying it was a family-oriented structure. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad reformed people because he gave them a work program.
Mm-hmm.
It was a productive kind of thing. We had fun building schools. So what I'm saying is the same formula is here. The message was not in just the properties and things that we accumulated. It was the validity of his message that insulated and protected us from the decadency now that's overriding our people.
When Al, you're on WVON.
Good afternoon to you, Tony, and assalamu alaikum, my dear brother.
Wa alaikum salam, beloved. How are you?
I would like to clear up one thing. The only thing that blacks have read about Malcolm X and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is in the racist white newspaper. And let me make a statement. The same enemy killed King. The same enemy murdered Malcolm. The same enemy just invaded Panama and murdered thousands of your brothers and sisters. The same enemy have plans for our destruction, and sisters. The only thing that will save us is divine intervention from Allah God himself. You know, Gil, if Minister Farrakhan wasn't a spiritual and divine person, the white racist news media tried to cause a rift between Reverend Jackson and the minister so they could move in and kill one and blame the other. My dear brothers and sisters, it continues, divide and conquer. And I think the Honorable Elijah did more for black people than any other person on the face of this earth. And peace be with him wherever he is.
Al, thanks for the call. Let's talk about that, because I think a lot of people probably are wondering, what did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I'll put this in quotes so you don't think that I'm giving you a left-handed salute here, what did he do but help himself? Because you and I both heard only a week or so ago, when I promised you wanted a chance to respond, and I had to turn you down. When will you get an opportunity to let people know what he did for people? Because he's been accused by, if not one, maybe a number of people, of only doing for Elijah Muhammad.
You know, Tony, let me say this. See, we had farmland in Alabama, Michigan, I think Georgia, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had schools throughout America. I mean, he was the head of this. Not that he needed to own that for himself. You see, I'm saying people gave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. It's just like when a friend does something for you, we go all out our way to compensate them. They call it reciprocity. What the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has done for me, it was nothing that I wouldn't do for him, you see? So what I'm saying, that he lived a life, the man suffered for 7 long years running up and down the East Coast trying to get this message to you and I. Went to prison, suffered and took up bronchitis. All the struggle of his life was away from his family for 12 long years, and I think that contributed to some of the ignorance that some of the children have shown toward their father. That's why people like us have to stand up to reacquaint them with this great man. This man loved us, and he showed us by example. He had a trade, was bringing in fish from Peru. He didn't eat it all. He brought it in, lowered the price, and sold it to our people. He bought a newspaper to create jobs for us. You know, there was a program. We had meat packers, trucking industry, egg farms, you know. This was a man that showed you by example. It's silly for one to suggest that he owned everything. If you come and give something away, brother, after it's been given, they call our businesses mom and pop store. Well, why is it that when we close something down, the Arabs, prior to them, the Jews, used to come in the community and set up shop and take our money back to their suburbs or wherever they live?
And then we respect and admire them for it.
Yeah, you respect them. But now I hear everybody talk about Elijah Muhammad. They take bits and pieces of his program. They say, well, we're not religious, but, you know, we like the economic. We're going to do for self. But I'm saying it is a divine program that has to be. Who could get us out of this trouble but a God himself? And the God is so upset because we didn't even know him. But that's why I say he would come as a thief in the night. Now, you know what a thief is, Tony.
A stranger.
Yeah, that's right. If we go home and some of the items are missing, we know somebody's been there.
Well, so, in the old days, I suppose it used to be a stranger.
Yeah. Well,
let me ask you about this, because I'm
sorry.
I know that you're going to be able to get more of your answer out of this question. And I want to ask about the concepts that he had. Were espoused by others before him, and these people were praised for it, and of course now we know very little about Elijah Muhammad as a result. For example, he said about begging for handouts from the government, as opposed to, and again, Elijah Muhammad's words, go for self. Elijah said, and I quote here, "The slave must now realize that he must work hard to be the equal of other nations. He must also remember that justice and righteousness is his defense, and wickedness is enemy in the downfall of his government and his people." He goes on further to say, and again I quote, "But if the slave is lazy, he will always be the slave for another. No nation respects a beggar." There were others, to be sure, that said this, W.E.B. Du Bois and Souls of Black Folk, something along the same lines, Marcus Garvey. So, does things sound to any of us that things have changed since these words were published, and I mean message to the black man and the comments about slavery or slaves 25-something years ago?
Well, you know, Elijah Muhammad gave credit to those brothers. He said what they didn't have was divine knowledge, and that was why they couldn't hold fast. Like Marcus Garvey, great man, you know, and he wanted to unite black people. He loved black people. But I'm saying that in his own movement, they was able to split up the movement and deport him, and the poor man died in exile, right? And I'm saying, but the movement just fell down. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said he had a divine solution to our problem, and said God himself with us. Tony, on our newsletter, we used the term Volume 10 to remind us that we were zero prior to the coming of Master Farad Muhammad, February 26, 1877, he was born. A savior, a real savior, was born, and gave Elijah Muhammad this teaching, okay? And he withdrew. But we keep that Volume 10 as the reminder so we don't get that egotism. And I begin to ask you, do you want my autograph? Or some of the other brothers begin to tell you that they invented a teaching.
We know who is shooting this gun. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad doesn't even have to be here. As it says in Galatians, we travail a second time till Christ be formed in us. See, we don't need anybody to stand over us anymore.
Sure.
Elijah Muhammad gave a solution,
sure,
and we try and adhere to it.
11:27, let's take another call. Deborah, you're on WVON.
Good morning, Tony, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum salam.
Happy Savior's Day.
Happy Savior's Day to you.
Thank you. I want to make a comment and ask a couple of questions, and then I'll hang up and listen,
sure,
to it. First of all, I used to be a member of Nation of Islam under Minister Farrakhan, and
I should do what?
I used to be a member.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and I found that, you know, each time I went, basically what I was hearing was, you know, the white man's this, the devil, that. My whole purpose, being a member of the Nation of Islam, was, you know, how do I get in touch with God? How do I get closer in touch with God? And I think that's one of the things we need to really focus on, you know, as far as Islamic members are concerned. You know, how can we take, you know, this idea into the 90s, you know, getting in touch with God? You know, we all come there looking for answers. And if you can, you know, elaborate on that a little bit. In addition to that, I understand we have two Savior's Days, one in February, one in October. If you can explain that to me. That's like, I guess, having two Christmases, you know, for Christians. And the other thing is, Nation of Islam. I read in the paper where, you know, John Muhammad and you guys are celebrating today as part of the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
But it's my understanding that you are not part of the Nation of Islam. I saw Brother Fahim on BET,
mm-hmm,
you know, which was an excellent program a couple of days ago,
mm-hmm,
and they billed him as being part of the Nation of Islam, and I really don't think he's part of it. So if you could just spend a few seconds.
You really don't think who's part of it? Fahim?
Fahim, I thought you all guys were not part of the Nation of Islam.
Okay.
Explain that to me is basically what I'm saying.
Okay.
Because I guess I don't understand. And again, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you for the call,
okay,
Deborah.
Yeah, thank you, sister. Well, the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we were a nation within a nation, and Islam was our nature, black people in general. So all of us were members of the Nation of Islam, and many people take on that title because they don't feel that they come under one umbrella. And we here at Crow, we do not, the only way we bring up the Caucasian, you know, is that you want to talk about him. See, we're busy. We feel that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, don't blame him. He didn't make himself. You made him. So we just go on as if he's not there, if you're doing the work. Now, I know that people talk in terms of conspiracies. We know that it was written that people would do the things that they're doing. There would be a certain people that do that. Now, we have information that we think we're very happy is the writings and teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which he said his teachings were life-giving. And we feel over here at Crow with film, video, tape, and writings on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Quran and many of his books, that if you're seeking God, that we think you can find him. You know, because ye all are gods if you but know. But you do have one supreme one in belief.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be transferred, my dear sister. You have to come and check it out. And I suggest to you, respectfully, we're showing a film today at 3 o'clock, a historical documentary it's called, and it'll give you some insight about the $64,000 question, whether we came in 1555 or 1619, and you begin to see the spiritual contents of you and I demise, so you don't keep blaming yourself and feeling bad because you were relegated to that subhuman condition. It was all written of you.
11:30, we are on the live line with Munir Muhammad of Crow. And before we try to close it out, let's take just a couple more calls. Mr. Muhammad, we'll talk to Joanne. Joanne, you're on WVON.
Yes, I would like for Mr. Muhammad to explain why there were more than one whites in the East, because I think we have a misinterpretation of it here. We know that the average black man cannot take care of one wife now because the majority of them are unemployed and they have the women's working nowadays. And I think that the sisters have a misunderstanding about the Muslim brothers having more than one wife.
Well,
and would he please explain why it was like that, that it wasn't like that, whereas the brother was having babies by all of these wives, explaining
think,
them how it was handled.
Okay, let him answer.
I think that's very, very beautiful that the sister brought that up. See, in the East, the Quraysh and the Muslims, they have been fighting, and it was war, and many of the men were killed off. And in Islam, you didn't want children coming up without a father and a mother, you see. So as not from some biological misfit that you were just so weak-boned, weak-blooded that you had to have sex on that basis, it was basically for the upbringing of the children. It was the exception, not the rule, brother.
Mm.
You see, so and they said one wife is better for you if you but know. See, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, people talk in terms as if he should go down to Mayor Daley and ask for a marriage license. You see? And I'm saying he operated on that basis. See, and people don't want to accept it. I'm saying to you, my dear brother, when you become a counsel to people, there are many people that we talk to, and there are some intelligent sisters who would love to have a man. And unfortunately, there are many of us are not living up to our responsibilities. But
well,
a Muslim wants for his brother.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We are just running out of time. But in the interest of shortening it all up, I wonder just how much in conventional wisdom these days do the Christian marriages merit in terms of weighing and assessing marriages as far as marriages go. Take a look at the tremendous and exorbitant rates of divorce in this country.
Of course.
11:33, and you're on WVON.
Good morning, Tony.
Hi.
And good morning to you again.
Good morning.
Now, I've been sitting here and I've been listening. And this is how I feel. Okay, now I know there were great kings like Solomon, and there were some more, and great prophets, and I know they had many wives, okay? But I also know that was under the law, okay? Now, we are living under grace. It just seems like to me some people's ministers are, when you try to teach us religious, I think you should let people know. I mean, that's not to say it did not happen. It happened. It was in the Bible. I mean, the word, and I do believe in some of the things I read, you know. But see, you got to watch how people interpret this stuff.
I understand.
Now, my point is this here. Well, as I'm concerned, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was living under grace. He was not entitled to more than one wife. He was not entitled or had the right to me to go out of his home and conceive another child. Okay? And that's because we're living under grace. Another thing...
Living
is,
under who?
We're not living under the law. I mean, because it seems like you're trying to justify...
No, I'm just telling you what...